has increased to $170 billion. Over the last 30 years, $3 trillion have been generated mostly by oil. Yet only $1 trillion have been reinvested into the country. The other $2 trillion remain unaccounted for. 4,000 or so Saud family princes get a base allowance of approximately $1.5 million per year. They supplement this with vast sums made through the following sophisticated forms of theft. Sale of oil. King Fahad, since 1975, has set up a system by which he and close members of his family sold on the open market in Rotterdam anywhere from 300,000 to 1 million barrels of oil a day at below market prices. Income from that oil was deposited in Swiss bank accounts. It is estimated that Fahad's annual income varied between $3 to $5 billion a year selling oil outside the commercial channels and oil company concessions. Real estate. Land in Saudi Arabia is owned by the government, and the government is controlled by the king with no accountability to anyone. Since 1975, land has been given to princes and their families by the government, only to be sold back to the government itself, thus creating the easiest means by which to rob the government of its resources. Contract fixing. Kickbacks on commercial and defence contracts is the third method used by the House of Saud to pilfer money. It is believed that every contract signed in Saudi Arabia has some form of kickback and commission. Large contracts such as the Al Yamama generated annual commissions in excess of $2 billion paid to only five people. Like a giant parasite, the US administration has also assisted in exhausting Saudi Arabia of its amassed financial reserves, totaling $121 billion. All this in less than a decade, and the Saudis now have to resort to establishing credit lines with the US government. This huge strain has been placed on the kingdom's banking system due to the fact that the 9,000 members of the royal family use these funds as their personal bank accounts, and most of these loans still remain uncollected. The National Commercial Bank remains drained, and one American official ironically called the unpaid loans the biggest black hole in the Saudi economy. The so-called caretakers of the Ummah wasted the wealth of the Ummah to finance worldwide CIA operations. As the New York Times reports, Washington relies on Riyadh for a host of favors, from discreet cajoling of its Arab neighbors to covert financing of CIA operations conducted through the CIA or the Pentagon. Financing more than $1 billion to the CIA for its operations around the world. America's multinational corporations have also benefited greatly from the limitless spending of the Saudis. When America lured Saddam into Kuwait and then destroyed the infrastructure of both countries, it left the job of rebuilding and cleaning up in the hands of the multinational corporations. AT&T, for example, rebuilt the telephone lines of Kuwait and is now monopolizing it. The Gulf War cost America nothing, since the caretakers of the Haramain assumed most of the expense of the Gulf War. In other words, America had her cake and ate it too. The war cost the Saudis $55 billion.
King Abdullah worked closely with the late King Fahd in implementing the policies of Saudi Arabia, both external and internal. So I cannot imagine that there will be any particular change in that policy, but rather a continuation.
With Abdullah assuming the kingship in August 2005, the tempo of reform to appease the West may accelerate. And Prince Bandar's return from Washington, where he has been adroit at forging close personal ties with the US administration, suggests that warm relations with the US will continue.